911 emergency, what are you reporting?
You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, because all of us today are speaking dispatch. We're talking it right to you. And if you haven't been listening, please, now that you're listening, tell your friends and say, hey, golly, that's a pretty interesting broadcast over there. Oh, my goodness. Hey, well, we got our full crew out here because it's the holiday season. And, of course, we're all there. And we are joined today by another special guest, Quint from Watson Consoles, who is our sponsor.
Yay, Quint!
So, Quint's got a couple of great topics that he's been talking about, and we should have hit record a little while ago. But we're going to do it right now. We're going to talk about staffing issues in comm centers. Now, I know everybody listening right now is saying to themselves, Doug, we don't even have staffing issues. Everything's fine. For that one comm center, you can tune out. But the rest of you, stay on. Let's talk about this issue. So let's talk about staffing. Quint, what's your thoughts on staffing issues with our comm centers?
Yeah, everyone's struggling with a little bit. And there's a multitude of issues that are contributing, right? There is a little bit, you know, public safety, societal approach to things that's contributing a little bit. But there's also the things that are contributing, which are health and wellness of the employees, the ability to retain employees is a big one. And then you have the other side of things, which is to attract new employees, right? To get new folks in the building. And what can the agencies themselves do in an effort to try to get people in the door, right? It's not an easy job. We all know that. It's definitely not a job that's meant for everyone either, right? So there's a lot of people who just don't have the ability or the personality or the wherewithal to be able to do the job. So there's a lot of innate challenges. And then there's just a lot of things that are kind of happening in today's world that are causing that to just get amplified, right?
It's a big topic. Well, let's go around the horn and see what everybody's got there. Glenna, what do you think about staffing issues? You know, specifically, what about people's mental health that are going to be brought into this job? Should we be addressing that before they get hired or not?
You know, with the younger generation coming in, it's pretty quickly becoming the majority of our staff is the younger generation. And we don't have to bring it up because they're already bringing it up because they want to know what we will do for them to keep them mentally healthy, which is very refreshing. Now, we can have the attitude, please, that's not how it's done. But that's a little bit old school, a little bit vintage there. Or we can embrace it and go, well, this is what we do. This is what we offer. A lot of times when we're talking about benefit packages with younger people, it's one of the things they ask. Do you guys pay for counseling? Do you guys pay for an EAP? And wow, that was such an eye opener. So we've started talking about peer support programs. Yes, we have a very strong, thriving peer support program. Okay, great. What is that? And a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, we had that in our high school, or yeah, we had that in our youth group or something. And these young kids that are coming in here are really seriously thinking, okay, mental health is something that I want on my benefits package.
That's so surprising because I've hired so many people and never, ever addressed that during a hiring procedure. But hey, Joe, now that you're back in 911, and we'll talk about that some other day, but now that you're back in 911, what's your hiring stat? What's your deal with hiring?
Yeah, absolutely. We're just a couple people down. And I say a couple people because they were significantly more down before I made it to the 911 center. So we're on the right path. We're gearing up towards full staff, and that's good. But my message to everybody would to challenge the managers and the leaders to find out what full staff actually looks like. And then hopefully the people that support the 911 centers get you close to those numbers. Because if you're not adequately staffed when full staffed, you're set up for failure when people leave.
Or are you talking like the total number of dispatchers that they should have and not the ones that they, you know, we have openings for this?
Correct.
You should have 20.
Find out what that number is that you should have, because 911 is changing. It's new technology. Yes. We talked about that. It's mental health, pulling them off the council to check on them more to make sure that they are doing okay. And one of my mentors, I think the acronym is REAL, you know, so we want to make sure we're building relationships with our staff, making sure we're checking in on them. We want to equip them with the tools that they need. We want to make sure our attitude's in the right spot, and we want to make sure we're listening to them. So make sure out there that you're keeping it real and making sure that your people are adequately staffed.
Well, you can tell he's back in 911 now. Listen to him now. Yep. And Leslie, give it to us. What do you got about staffing issues going on?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is getting the people in the door. But then, okay, once they're there, we are now fighting for people to come work in a very rigid sort of semi-militant type of environment. And you've got so many other jobs that are out there, work from home and flexible schedules and stuff like that. And so people are now having to choose. And I think what we have to do as a profession is say, instead of saying, nope, that would never happen. We could never have people handle 911 calls from home. We could never have people work from home. I'm here to tell you, it's already happening. So I think there's got to be, for those of you who are in, maybe you're not in a supervisor role yet, but you're going to be in the next couple, 3 years, that these are the things that you need to start thinking about, because that's what's going to get people to come in. Because, I mean, we've all been there. Oh, come and work for us. We'd love for you to be a part of our team. You get to work the holidays and graveyard and overtime. And we're going to tell you what to wear and where to sit and how to talk.
So are you saying we need to be more like a car dealership? What's it going to take to put you in this seat today?
This seat. Yes, exactly.
Really? Okay.
Truly. Right. Back our hair.
All right. And John, so what's, I know you're still out in the public safety world. Not necessarily the dispatch center, but what do you hear about hiring and stuff out there and staffing?
Mainly it's short. It's hard.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was a really good answer. So,
in all seriousness, those things that Leslie mentioned can make or break a hire. That can make a break. If I'm an individual, basically what do I want? I want a job. So I have applications all over various government agencies. More than likely, if that's what I want to get into.
Yeah.
Because I just found this online at the government website. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So I have them on. And maybe I applied to specifically 911 centers because I wanted to put my foot in the door somewhere. But if I'm offered a position at two or three simultaneously, but one of them says minimum 2 years working, then you can start working from home, you could entice me a little bit more. What does that entail? It's, you know, that's what I'm used to, a little bit more freedom. Maybe it's, hey, that rigidness. Do I have to have a uniform? Yeah, I mean, it's
that's a very, very good one.
But how much, looking at those who are there, how much of the public do I see? If I don't have a walk-up window and I am in a building that generally has no public access, okay, that's going to look at on the operations floor. Okay. As long as it's a decent pair of trousers and a shirt, all right, maybe that's sufficient.
Okay, again, all right. I mean, the home dispatching thing, I think everybody knows my opinion on that. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, so Jill, what do you think about the staffing situation?
So I think maybe more should be invested at the time of application or even at the time of interview. Maybe Doug talks about a negative job features, having them read each of those individually during the application or the interview process to say, hey, this is what it's going to be, not them walk in the door and get hit with all this. And then like for those departments that require uniforms, maybe you sell it in a way, hey, you have more money to buy clothes for your days off. We're going to provide you clothing. You don't have to buy the clothing. And
Jill, wait, I'm going to write that down. Hold on. Well, that was good.
You're also assuming that the agency is also paying for those clothes too, because that require uniforms and they still have to buy them.
My old department required uniforms. They gave them to you and they also gave you a cleaning allowance.
Wow.
Then that's
nice.
So you might have to wear a uniform, but you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to. Well, you got a cleaning allowance.
That's certainly a bonus.
You had it dry cleaned. So there's ways to sell the negative stuff in a positive light.
I think a lot of that comes with recruiting, though. If you recruit and tell people what the job actually is and all the cool stuff you got to do and all that stuff, that'll bring some people back in. So, Quint, let me ask you this, because you're all over the country doing your sales for Watson and stuff like that. You must hear people saying, hey, we're fully staffed today. Or do you hear the opposite of that?
Not very often. And it's ironic because when I do hear it, I might be back a month and a half, 2 months later, and they're like, oh, now we're down six, right?
You know, oh, my God.
It's an ever-evolving deal.
It lasted one shift.
Yeah.
Which ties to another perspective of which we are not talking about currently, which is there – when you get into certain areas of the country where it becomes highly competitive, and there are a lot of folks leaving this agency to go to this agency.
Oh, yeah. He's recruiting this agency.
It becomes almost a situation where who has the most to offer me, right? Who has the most to offer me? Because now I'm moving laterally, right? And folks really want somebody who's already trained, who already has experience, right? So now what are they offering, right? And that ties to a little bit of something we were talking about earlier before we started this episode, which is agencies are investing more money and more effort into the overall environments of what they're putting their folks into, right? And they should be, because if you can't keep your employees healthy and happy, they're going to leave. They're going to, somebody else is going to offer them that, right? They're not going to just put up with it, right? They're just not going to take it. It's just not going to happen, right?
Well, I know that when I was teaching in Maryland, the director was telling me we can't hire anybody. And I'm like, that's not true. Are you recruiting? What are you doing? And she goes, Doug, look across the street. Taco Bell starts at $19 an hour. Word don't even start that high. So, I mean, to make a bean burrito, you can get $19 an hour, but to do dispatching, it was like $18.50. And I'm like, it just doesn't
less responsibility, more money.
Yeah.
And that's where agencies are going to have to own that. And they're going to have to figure out a way to make that work.
Again, I think it's selling it. You sell, here are the perks you get. You have probably 401k, a better retirement. Whereas Taco Bell, it's not really, unless you go into upper in management and owning them, you don't really have a career there.
Correct.
So you have to sell that.
But I want to go back to the lateral thing right quick, Quint, that you mentioned. And that is, okay, everyone wants lateral entries. That's a whole episode just on that. But point with that is, if I'm going to be lateral and I'm going to jump from agency A to agency B, okay, and I have all this experience from A going to B, but at B, I have to start at ground zero again.
Yeah.
I have to go through the new hire orientation. What about, that's not how law enforcement, or for that matter, fire department services who are career law, they have a lateral program where you condense a lot of the fundamentals, particularly if I'm from agency A to B and I'm in the same state, I've satisfied a lot of state training objectives. I just need to learn what the agency does to function. So if I can jump ship and get more money and really not have to suffer through 10, 12 weeks of a new hire class, where people have no experience, that it's easy money for me, but I'm also bored to death.
We used to have the same thing. We had a lot of people wanted to work for us, but we did not take laterals, and it was crazy. Yes. I'm like, we could have staffed our centers easy, and it's like, but they didn't want to do it.
That's a disservice.
And there are states where a lot of the requirements are the same, right? And so you can run lateral programs, which make a lot of sense, right? And so I'm surprised more people aren't doing it though. But you know, it's something that agencies are going to have to start thinking about when they're talking about trying to keep fully staffed. I mean, they're going to have to do it.
Right? It's definitely an issue.
Hey, Joe. At your place over there, do they have like laterals in place? Can you do a lateral like John's talking about?
We absolutely can. And they actually have it in the union contract at my new place that if you come with X, Y, and Z certifications after you complete probation and training, they give them extra amount of money.
Oh, wow.
So they still got to do all the training like a new person?
It depends on, I mean, we're going to expedite it, right? We're going to speed it up. They're coming from another agency. They have to learn the way that we do business. But once they complete training and they count as staffing and they're out on their own, then they get paid for those certifications they bring with them.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
Glenna, do you guys have that at your agency that you work for? Do you guys take lateral?
We have a hiring bonus. You get half the money at time of appointment and then half the money when you're off probation. And it's a significant amount. I want to say 10 grand. Yes. Plus you can bring over some of your sick leave. You could bring over some of your
I didn't even think about it. Can you bring, like, if I had 5 weeks vacation at office A, can I bring my 5 weeks vacation over here? And
you can bring some of it. I don't think you can bring all of it, but I know you can bring some of it.
Does it have to be in the same state?
You're not considered a lateral if you're out of state because you don't have the California post. So, because I'm in California, so that's how it is here.
Oh, it's California.
But we don't have the... So the reason why you would stay at a California agency for so long is because you had that retirement. Right. And in my case, it's 2.7 at 55. Now it's 2% at 62. So we don't have, you know,
I went on a good time.
Yeah, we've got people who are sitting here going, what do I care about my retirement? I'll go over there. So yeah, you are seeing a lot of movement because of that.
Hey, Quint, do you guys get, like, when you're out at places, do you have people asking you, what's the other place? What do they pay? Is it better over there? Do they have people kind of quizzing you about this stuff? I could totally see doing it.
I don't get a lot of conversations about pay. And I think people, that's kind of a little bit of a touchy conversation. But I do get a lot of conversations about, what have you seen that agencies have done to be successful? What have you seen? What do you see when you see an agency that's really being successful? Or what do you see where agencies fail miserably? Or what kind of interesting things have people done to recruit, right? You know, like right down the street from here, me is South Sound 911. And South Sound 911 literally last year had their own booths at National NENA and APCO last year.
Perfect.
And tried to recruit. I mean, that's an interesting take on how to recruit, mm-hmm. right? I get those questions a lot, right?
Yeah, I saw an agency from Washington State had a booth, Kings County, and they were told they can have a booth, they can give away stuff, but they cannot recruit at the APCO Fest, at the APCO conference.
Really?
One of those. And I was like, you can't recruit. They said, we can't recruit, but we can give you a flyer that talks about our job. And I'm like, well, that's kind of recruiting.
No, if you have any questions, call me at this number right here.
Yeah.
Hey, Quint, since you're talking about recruiting, what do you hear about sign-on bonuses? Not lateral, just sign-on bonuses.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen lateral bonuses. I've seen sign-on bonuses. Like, they're pretty regular now. They're not as regular as with you see with patrol officers. Like, virtually everywhere you go anymore now, mm-hmm. if you sign up to be a cop now, they're going to give you money, right? And that's the norm now, right? In an effort, they got to entice people with something. But I'm definitely seeing more and more of sign-on bonuses and lateral bonuses at agencies all across the country.
How about you, Leslie? You deal with a lot of comm centers all over the damn country. What do you see the same?
The damn country. Country.
He's still bitter about California.
I meant like
yeah, he is.
No, I think the most feedback that I get in some of my conversations is really just how short-staffed everybody is. And, and everybody jokes about, you know, if we could figure this out, man, that would be our million-dollar maker. And I think it's prevalent across the country. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's a conversation that we've had over and over and over with We Speak Dispatch. We started this, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it's ever going to go away, because there's always an expectation of doing more with less.
Mm-hmm.
and I think it just is such a bigger issue. It's all the things that all of y'all have talked about, where, you know, we're not taking care of our people. We're not putting them in environments that is healthy. We're not, you know, we're not recognizing the value of what it means to be a 911 telecommunicator. We've got this reclassification thing happening and nobody knows what it's about. They don't understand.
Exactly.
It. There's so many different things that we can talk about that would take, I mean, we're already at time now, or that would take hours to discuss. But I think it is that conversation that needs to be ongoing, because the problem is ongoing. And,
well, the
and
good
maybe
thing is we are going to continue ongoing with this conversation, because it is good. And I'm sure it's relevant to a lot of people out there. But before we end this episode, I have to have Joe tell us our current stats on social media, because they're so delicious. Go ahead, Joe. What are
you? Delicious.
Amazing. It's amazing. We are nearing 28,000 plays. We're nearing 50 countries.
Oh, we
started. Thanks to our sponsors at Watson. Thanks for everybody tuning in, listening to us. Make sure you share this with your other coworkers and dispatchers, and check us out on Break and Listen. And if you want to be a guest, email us at wespeakdispatch@gmail.com, and Jill will coordinate with you and make sure you get a special time to be on with Quint and the rest.
There he is. Good night, everybody.
Watson Consoles is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit watsonconsoles.com.